Welcome to You the Brand, the podcast for purpose-driven, ambitious professionals who know they have something valuable to offer and they want to own it, articulate it, and turn it into impact and income. Hi, my name is April Gregory. I'm a six-figure brand and marketing strategist, transformation coach, and author of You the Brand. I also own a digital marketing agency called Wonder Woman Marketing. I've spent years consulting across industries and supporting campaigns that have generated millions in revenue. And I've also had to rebuild my own career more than one time. This podcast is about identity, mission, owning your skills, and creating premium paydays so your work is aligned, visible, and lucrative. Let's get into this conversation. So before money and visibility, there is identity, and at the center of identity is mission. So in this first episode, I thought it would be perfect to talk about what mission actually is, because I think of mission as the organizing force behind your work, your decisions, and the way your life keeps unfolding. I'm also going to share the current mission behind You the Brand. That is the book, the podcast, and the larger body of work that is still being uncovered as I live out my days every day. I want you to understand what this space is here for and who it's for. And we must dissect this word that keeps so many brilliant people stuck, self-promotion. If promoting yourself has ever felt wrong to you, like it's not who you are, today I want to show you why it feels that way and what you should actually be promoting instead. Also, stick around to the end because I really want to share with you this free tool that shows you exactly where your brand stands today. This episode is meant to set the foundation for everything that follows, so settle in. This is just the entryway. But before we go any further, let's answer the question directly. What is personal branding? One of my favorite definitions comes from Seth Godin. He says that a brand is a set of expectations, memories, stories, and relationships that taken together account for whether or not a person is going to choose you or choose the thing over another. This is whether they will do business with you or not, or be in relationship with you or not. It's your brand. I love that definition because it reminds us that branding is already happening whether we're intentional about it or not. People are already forming stories about us. They're having experiences with us or not. They're building relationships with us and they're creating expectations. If I were to tell you to name your favorite brands, which we do in one of our programs, name your favorite brands. There are expectations you have about your favorite brands. There's a mood, there's a vibe, there's an expectation you have. Just thinking about your favorite brands. How about your favorite people, the favorite people in your life? There are expectations you have about your favorite people. Whether we realize it or not, people are creating experiences about us based on our stories, our experiences, our relationships with them, and the results we create. And so that's why personal branding can feel really complicated, because we're not managing one thing. We're working with the stories, experiences, relationships, expectations, reputation, and the trail we leave behind. And for many of us, that trail includes experiences from our past that still shape how we see ourselves and how we show up in the world. Sometimes that trail serves us well, and sometimes it limits us. So part of this work is becoming aware of the trail we've inherited and intentionally creating the trail we want to leave going forward. I believe a personal brand is also a body of work. It's the extraction and expression of your skills, experiences, methods, perspectives, and results in a way that allows the people you're meant to serve to find, trust, and choose you. Because in the end, we're not promoting ourselves. We're promoting the body of work that exists because we exist. All right, so let's talk about what mission actually is. When professionals and business owners hear the word mission, because of their corporate backgrounds, they picture a statement, something framed on a wall, something a committee or copywriter came up with. It took them about 3 weeks. Now GPT can do it in 20 seconds. We empower synergistic excellence. You know what I'm talking about. Nobody believes it, including the people who wrote it. But that's not what I'm talking about. A mission is not a sentence you write. I see it as a force that's already operating in your life, whether you've noticed it or not. take a look backwards, not forwards. Look at the thread that keeps showing up in your work no matter how many times the job title changes. The thing people keep coming to you for in every role, personal, professional roles, in every season, the problem you can't not solve when you see it, the conversation you stay up late for, the conversation you'll skip every other meeting for, that's mission. It's been in development inside of you, and you had it before you arrived at these jobs, on these projects, and in these roles. Across every role I've had, career coaching, marketing, consulting, transformation work, selling, the same thing kept happening. People would sit across from me trying to figure out who they are and where they belong. And I can often see things in them that they couldn't see in themselves. I could see their gifts, their hangups. I could see what was keeping them back. That's been the one thread running through my life for more than 20 years. And here's why this matters for a podcast about personal branding. Your title is not your identity. Your credentials are not your identity. Those are descriptors. Those are containers. Identity is a through line underneath the work, how you interpret the problems, how you make decisions, the patterns you see that other people miss, what you can be trusted to hold. The container, that can change. The capacity, that's what's yours. So mission is that capacity pointed at something. It's what happens when your gifts have direction, when you give your gifts direction, right? It's the why underneath the what. And when you confuse the container for the capacity, when your sense of who you are becomes fused to a role, a title, or a structure, you panic and possibly crash out at every transition point. If the role changes, you wonder, who am I? If the structure disappears, you want to know what's left. What's left is that part of you that was always doing the work. And that's the part we build the brand on. Mission reveals itself, survival versus desire, and the word that keeps you stuck. So if mission isn't something you sit down and invent, how do you find it? Well, I don't think mission is lost. So I don't really think you find it. You notice it. And in my experience, life gives you clues in two places at once. The first is inside. There might be some restlessness, like, or a curiosity, an inner tug toward more. Or maybe it's a quiet but absolute doneness with something you've outgrown. You know that feeling, like, I'm done with that. It's not always a loud, confident declaration. Sometimes it comes as discomfort. It might be a little tension or dissatisfaction, as a sense of, like, this no longer fits. This is not working for me anymore. The time is up. Sometimes people describe it as being just bored. And then there are the clues outside of you, the conversations, the invitation, the ideas, environments that mirror the pull you're already feeling inside. One of life's greatest mirrors is seeing someone else living a possibility that already exists inside of you. The event you almost didn't go to, the person whose presence light you up for reasons you can't really fully explain yet, the idea you can't stop circling back to. Years ago, both those clues fired in my life at the same time. I had a curiosity towards coaching, and then there was an invitation outside that I almost turned down because I was exhausted. I was exhausted. I was tired. I had plenty to do. But I went. And it changed the direction for me. I'm going to tell you that whole story in the next episode, because it's also the story of what it costs when the structure you've organized your entire life around starts to disappear. Now, back then, I remember walking into that room. There was a woman on stage. She was articulate. She was spunky. She was captivating. I had every intention of sitting in the corner and supporting my sister. But I walked out of that room energized with a page full of notes. And if you've ever had a moment like that, you know exactly what I mean. I don't know whether you call it a coincidence, or you might call it synchronicity, divine timing, or simply being ready. But sometimes life has a way of introducing us to ourselves. For now, here's what I want you to take from it. If something in you feels restless, constrained, or like something is missing, pay attention. It's easy to dismiss those feelings because, you know, there's a lot of, I hear people saying, oh, you know, I should be grateful, or I'm just unfocused right now. But after making a few pivots myself, I've learned that it might simply mean you're ready for something more, or that you're at capacity at that level. And before anything new can enter your life, something old must be released, acknowledged, dismissed. One of the distinctions that change how I listen to people and how I listen to myself is survival. I ask, what will get me through this? It's like, and it feels heavy. Like, okay, what's going to get me through this? I got to get through this. What's going to get me through this? Desire is, what do I want to build? What do I want to do? What do I want to do with all of what I have? Right? Both are valid questions, but they're not the same question. So when you've been in survival long enough, desire starts to shrink into relief. And then you begin to mistake just getting through this as your life plan. The risk was never wanting less in a hard moment. The risk is letting just get through this become the ceiling of your life. Mission is often what's waiting on the other side of that ceiling. And notice, it is one of the first acts of owning your brand. So now, let me do what I'm asking you to do. Let me name mine out loud on the record, the mission behind this book, behind the podcast, behind the larger body of work. And here it is. The mission of You the Brand is to help purpose-driven professionals own their identity, claim their authority, and build brands that work for them so that people who are genuinely good at what they do are finally seen, acknowledged, and paid accordingly. So let me unpack that, because I think every one of those can be loaded. Own your identity. It's like, what is that? How do I own? I want to say own your identity because the foundation of a personal brand is not a logo. It's not a color palette. It's not your content calendar. It's a person who can actually hold the identity their brand is calling for. The inner work comes first. That's the prerequisite. Then I said, claim your authority, because I've learned that authority is not big volume at first. Authority is accuracy first, being accurate about who you are, what you're here to lead, and what you're no longer available for. Most brilliant people I work with, they're brilliant, multi-degree, naturally gifted, so they're not lacking skill. They've just been underplaying it, underplaying their whole journey. A brand that works for you, because I've watched too many people build brands that work against them. Brands that require performance. When I say performance, it's a little bit of pretense in there, because I do believe in performance. Brands that demand self-abandonment, like you got to just be this other person. The brand should fit the person, not the other way around. And here's the belief underneath all of that. And this is the hill I'm going to stand on right now and probably for this entire show. The people who are genuinely good at what they do deserve to be seen accurately and paid accordingly. So now let's talk about the word that keeps so many people stuck. That is self-promotion. Somewhere along the line, personal branding got hijacked. It got collapsed into this one ugly compound word, self-promotion. And a whole generation of genuinely excellent, purpose-driven professionals heard that word and said, that is not me. And they opted out because they thought of it as performance. And when they opted out of performance, they accidentally opted out of being seen, because in today's world, quiet can read as absent. It really is. So let's slow down for a second, because I think this is exactly where good people get stuck. Let me pull apart the word promote. Do you know what it actually means? To promote something is to further its progress. That's all it is. We promote students to the next grade. We promote employees who are ready for more. Promotion is movement. It's helping something go where it's supposed to go. So why does self-promotion feel so impossible? Because many of us, we're trained. Now, I'm a marketer. By marketing itself, we've been trained to face outwards, focus on the market, their needs, their wants, their problems, serve the people. And that rule is correct. That's exactly what marketing is for. But the moment you turn the lens on yourself, it can feel selfish. It can feel like you're breaking the very first rule of marketing that you've ever learned, especially if you're someone who genuinely wants to help people. And that's where personal branding differs from marketing. Personal branding has a phase that marketing doesn't doesn't always have, a phase dedicated completely to understanding you, your identity, your patterns, your story, your gifts, your training, your experiences, the threat we talked about earlier. We do that work thoroughly, and then we extract something from it. And that's what I've been talking about, a body of work. The body of work, your story, who this is for, and the invitation. A body of work, your frameworks, your methods, your perspective, your results, the thing you carry that exists because you exist, but now has a shape of its own. It has a name. It serves people. And that, my friends, is what we promote. Not just your face, not just your personality. Those can support your personal brand, but they are not the priority, especially for experts and professionals. We are promoting the work. We are furthering the progress of a body of work that serves people, which means the part of you that struggles with self-promotion, the part trained to put others first, can just relax, because promoting your body of work is putting other people first. The work exists to serve them. Hiding it doesn't. So let me tell you how I learned this. And I think I learned it the hard way. It wasn't harsh, but it was the hard way. Years ago, after downsizing, I met a coach, a woman who became my personal branding coach, and she said something to me that genuinely confused me at first. She said, "April, you are a personal brand." The world wasn't even talking about personal branding at that time like now. I didn't know I was a personal brand. I didn't know a person can be one. I thought branding belonged to corporations. I thought about brands like my favorite cereal brands, Tide, household products, McDonald's, logos, taglines, and companies. Not me, a woman trying to figure out her next chapter. But once I start looking at my work as a brand, as a body of work, something happened that I really didn't expect to happen. It really took me out of the equation. I know that sounds backwards. Personal branding is supposed to be all about you, right? But the moment my work had a shape outside of me, I stopped having to sell myself. It didn't feel like I was selling myself. I started representing the work. I could clearly see what I had to offer instead of waiting for clients to tell me what they needed and hoping I fit. From there, I booked myself to speak. I ran trainings at colleges. I built a track record that became everything I do now, not because I got comfortable bragging. I never really did. But because there was finally something to promote that wasn't me. And this is the vision I have for this work. A generation of professionals whose income matches their ability, whose visibility doesn't require self-abandonment, who succeed as themselves. Because the truest thing I know, and it's the line this entire work is built on, is that you don't need to become someone else to succeed. Yeah, there's a different version of you that must emerge from you. You need to finally claim who you are, and that is emerging. It is constantly emerging. So who is this space for? Let me describe you and you tell me if I'm close. You're good at what you do. You're genuinely good. You're credentialed, you're experienced, you're trusted. You're the person who gets invited into rooms. You get pulled into projects. You actually like projects. You're relied upon to carry things through. Your competence opened doors. Even in moments when you didn't feel competent enough, there was still something about you that kept opening doors. Competence also has a shadow. When you're good at so many things, people don't want to know what you want to be known for. They simply keep handing you more of what you already do well. And year by year, an impressive career can drift away from your actual identity. Not because you lack the vision. Yeah, maybe you did. You didn't have the vision that you needed for yourself, but because you were too busy being effective at what you were doing in the moment to stop and ask yourself deeper questions. Or maybe you were like me and you just thought, I'm not a personal brand. That's not me. You couldn't even see how you are a personal brand, because now also another thing that's happening is personal branding is if you're on social media. Like if you have a nice Instagram feed, they're calling that a personal brand. Maybe a structure shifted underneath you, a role ended, an industry change, a season of life has closed, and you realize how much of your identity was stored inside of a container, inside of the job, inside of a title, inside of a relationship, inside of a career. Or maybe nothing dramatic happened at all. Maybe there's just this little restlessness underneath everything that you can't quite justify right now. Let me tell you what happens when someone like you does this work. I'm working with a trainer right now. We've built her personal brand, her body of work. Now she's in this embodiment phase, learning to carry it, learning to stand inside of it, because creating the work is one phase. Learning to embody it is another phase. Her energy in the classroom is so different now, so different, because we're working on embodiment. Her assignment is to treat all of it like it's a keynote, like it's a stage. So she's different. It's connected to her mission now. She knows that she's not just delivering these sessions anymore. She's carrying a body of work connected to a larger purpose, connected to her mission. Everything she does now is connected. And then beautifully timed. I couldn't have made this up. The organization she contracts with sent her an unsolicited email that said, "We can pay you more. I have receipts. We can pay you more. And we want you to be our top trainer." She didn't pitch for that. She didn't promote herself into that room. She built the body of work. And then we worked on embodiment of that work. An opportunity, this opportunity dropped in. That's just one opportunity I'm talking about with her. She's had others. That's identity. That's authority. Then income, in that order. Identity, authority, income. That's what it looks like when it works. If some version of that is what you want, to be offered the room instead of fighting for it, you're in the right place. Whether you're stepping out on your own, building it inside of the organization you're with, or rebuilding after a disruption you didn't ask for. Well, maybe some part of you is asking for a disruption. Because I think we all been asking for a disruption. And then when this disruption comes, it's like, oh, I didn't want that. I didn't ask for that. Anyway, the work is the same. Identity first, authority second, income follows, always. So where's the season going? Let me give you the map. Because I am a strategist. I'm a coach, transformation practitioner. I also believe life unfolds in ways that we don't always understand. Some people call it a coincidence. Some call it synchronicity. Some call it divine timing. Whatever language you use, I believe there's meaning to be found in the patterns of our lives. And because of that, the season may evolve as we evolve together. But in the next episode, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you my story. The data structure I organized my entire life around disappeared, and what it taught me about owning my skills. Owning your skills when the system shifts. If you've ever had the ground move beneath your feet, that episode is for you. And after that, we're going somewhere most branding conversations hardly ever go. We're going to talk about, why do smart people freeze when the structure breaks? Why don't intelligence and credentials always protect us? What's actually happening when a capable person stalls? Then we'll get practical. How to monetize your expertise, how to turn what you know into a book, into a consulting practice, into a keynote, into contracts. We'll talk about how to promote the brand when the brand is you, Y-O-U. And now you know what promote actually means. How do you move your body of work forward? You'll hear real stories of this work lived out loud from start to finish. And we'll talk about what it takes to command premium retainers for your expertise. I've done it. My clients have done it. And I intend to serve it up. Whatever comes through me that will serve you, I intend to deliver it. So here's what I want to leave you. And that's the free tool I promise. You know what a personal brand actually is. You know what a personal brand actually is now. A body of work extracted from who you already are. The next question becomes obvious. How accurately does your brand reflect who you are? If you've ever felt like something is off with your brand, but you can't quite put your finger on it, you're not alone. Personal branding is complex because it's not one thing. It's your story. It's your expertise. It's your visibility. It's your messaging. It's your authority. It's the offers. It's the training. And sometimes what feels like one problem is actually several small gaps working together. Maybe you know there's a gap. You can feel it. You know you're capable of more. You haven't yet been able to name exactly what's getting in the way. That's exactly why I created the brand gap assessment. In about 4 minutes, you'll discover where your brand is strong and where it may be working against you and where your next opportunity for growth might be. So go to wonderwomanmarketing.com/gap, G-A-P. That's wonderwomanmarketing.com/GAP. The link is the first thing in the show notes because awareness is the first step toward alignment, and alignment changes everything. So if this episode helped you, please subscribe, share it with someone who's building something meaningful. Just remember your mission, your story, your skills, they matter. And the trail you leave behind matters too. Now go build a brand worthy of them, and I'll see you next time on You the Brand.